Hi, Brandon here with the HubSpot Beginners Podcast, along with my co-host JM Benjamin.
That was amazing. I don't know.
What are we even calling this podcast?
We just said we wouldn't talk about HubSpot, and you started the HubSpot Beginners Podcast.
Well, we don't have a name otherwise.
The Sideway. We keep the Sideway right now. It's on the same
Welcome
feed.
To the Sideway with J, Benjamin, and Brandon. How are you guys doing today?
That is so fucking awesome. It's amazing.
One of my talents is I have that voice. So.
Yep. Do you think that was clean, yeah. Benjamin, or do we need to do another take?
We might do one for Europeans. We'll see.
Yeah, all right, Benji, you ready? All right, Brandon, be quiet for a minute. Okay, Benji, go.
Yeah, you don't want a French accent, though. Swedish.
Of course you do.
Let's go Swedish.
Yeah, but that's Scandi. That doesn't work. I mean, for the proper European vibe, you need either Italian or French accent.
All right. So, bonjour, bonjour, and welcome to the Sideway. I'm here with Brandon, all the way from Denver, and Jesper in the dark Stockholm.
Awesome. Lovely. Lovely.
And I'm here, and it's pretty dark as well in Zurich, so.
Yeah.
So, that's the, yeah.
It's and the now, intro sorted, finally. 4 or 5 episodes in, we finally have an intro. Well done.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Right. So content channels.
Yeah. So I've been thinking a lot about this over the last, 2 or maybe 3 years, because two-ish years ago, I discovered that a lot of these old school hacky people who build cool web technology, they've all gone back to blogging, personal blogging. And this was at about the same time as all these newsletter sites started popping up. And after that, you know, the newsletter things has just exploded, right? It's all over the place. And I'm wondering, like, what's happening here? Like, are we going back to the old school internet because people don't trust social media anymore? Or is it because the reach is so bad? Or are people just not getting the sort of engagement and response that they want? Because if you post anything on social media today, you get a ton of hate. Like all of 2020, regardless what you posted, you got somebody screaming about Trump. So, like, what do you think is going on?
Yeah, you could just post a picture of like a big pile of cute kittens and they'd start screaming about Trump.
Yeah.
That's how much it took over the universal consciousness. I don't know. I mean, it's difficult to really to sort of explore why, I mean, the hypothetical of why things are moving in that direction. I can only really, in an informed manner, speak about like my own reasons for doing it. If we're talking about like content channels in terms of the ones that, so like I find, for example, this as a content channel, like a podcast, conversations, to me, it's the best way of introducing new ideas and new ways of thinking to sort of shake me out of my own thought patterns and my own ways of going about it. Having conversations with 2 guys that I know very, very well, who we've been talking about these things for years, it forces me to verbalize my own thoughts. And then it gives an opportunity for 2 people whose opinions I respect to then challenge those thoughts and in a sense, make me challenge my own ideas about things. So that's a good way to get external input to disrupt my own normal patterns of thoughts. Whereas I find blogging is a way to force me to clarify my own ideas, to actually understand things at a greater level. So when I write a blog, I am, to some extent, I'm trying to teach myself the thing that I'm writing about. I'm forcing myself to clarify and learn it better. So to me, those are like 2 different reasons for producing content in different ways, essentially.
That's super interesting. That also ties into like the Clubhouse trend going on right now, where people are literally trying to find more opportunities to have conversations about topics instead of publishing their own thoughts and ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I do think if I can sort of come with a hypothesis on why things are moving in that direction in a more broad sense. I definitely do think, like, 2020 was such a shit show of a year. I do think a lot of people are getting sick of just the mess of social media and the rage and all of that stuff. I do think you see a general trend away from that. I mean, how many people in our generation do you know who spend any amount of meaningful time on Facebook? Like, that number has gotten vanishingly small. It seems like it's, at least to my knowledge, in the States, just become a place for, like, baby boomers to rant at each other and, like, not realize that once something's on the internet, it stays on the internet forever. Like, they just don't have that knowledge. But I know very few people in our age group who spend that much time on it. And I do think that people who, like us, who were sort of the transition generation, we didn't fully grow up with technology enmeshed in our lives. We did see the transition to some extent. We're sort of becoming wise to what's happening and trying optimize our information.
That's a great icon.
Well,
so that should be the wrapper of, or the cover
for
of the
listeners. Brendan just froze completely.
Mid good rant, also, which is kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
So, Benjamin, are you on any social media now?
Yeah, I mean, the only social media that basically for me is getting stronger and is interesting in my daily use is Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And Twitter is interesting because Brendan was talking about Facebook, which suck ass. We all know that. And it's the typical pay for play platform. Where Twitter grew a lot in the last few years. Like, they came back to the 2014 high, I guess. It's a lot more engagement, more interesting people. So that it's also a bit more microblogging, where Facebook is just a shit show. So it's pretty interesting also to see, because I agree completely that, there's the rise of newsletter, the rise of personal blogging, but there's the rise of Twitter as well.
That's true. That is actually really interesting. That's a great point.
And Twitter is often the gateway to your personal platform, because it's really, really hard to get people to follow you through SEO or through something, except if you're famous already.
Yeah.
Twitter has been a really great channel for all these newsletters and bloggers to just grow. And
that's a really good point. Yeah.
I mean, we're talking mostly about personal branding in this case, I guess, or micro projects. It's also interesting to see because Twitter in the last three months just released Twitter Space, basically Clubhouse on Twitter directly. They bought a newsletter platform called Review. So you will be able to do a Substack-ish directly from Twitter. And the Twitter Premium thingy, I don't remember the name, that is going to be a direct competitor to Patreon.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
really interesting. Super likes.
Oh, and, okay. Well, did you remember that? So it's really interesting because it's cool, because Twitter basically see the value on having people on the platform and so on. But as a creator, you also think, okay, that's the typical, it's going to become pay for play as well on Twitter. Probably done in a way more elegant way. I like the way they do. I would probably buy stocks of Twitter right now, because I think that as a business case, it's really interesting the way they do it. But it also means, well, you won't.
Wait, now we have to say that, like, anything you hear on this podcast is not investment advice. Please consult your broker before you do anything.
So
we're not recommending you buy or sell anything, but I am buying Twitter right now.
Exactly.
But that's just me. It's not a recommendation.
Exactly.
But you shouldn't, or you should, based on your own judgment.
Exactly. But yeah, so I think it's the whole thing is really interesting, because Twitter does a really nice business move that might make the platform interesting, but also means maybe people might become frustrated from the platform, may want to get out and want to own their own newsletter, want to own the people that signed up to listen or to hear from them. We can see.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, shit. I was gonna show you. I was gonna show you me buying Twitter stuff.
Yeah. go ahead. Yeah.
No, actually, before you go off, Brendan, I'd just like to say, like, when you were frozen, Benjamin made this excellent point about it's not just newsletters and blogs that are exploding, it's also Twitter. contrary to social medias, which is very interesting.
Yeah, well, on that Twitter thing, I mean, I don't know the extent of all the changes that you just referred to that they're making, but I, like I said, I think that people are becoming more cognizant of the detrimental effects of technology to more of an extent. And I think any platform that is based on network effects, something like Twitter, that the value comes from the size of the network, if they are monetizing their platform away from attention-based advertising, that is inherently a good thing and something that is going to become more, people will embrace more. The people who are don't like what social media is doing will be happy about any company that is moving things in a more ethical direction and away from attention-based content, because that's where a large part of the problem stems from.
I completely agree. And I think this this idea of following a creator on Twitter, sort of the Substack model, but for tweets, is just brilliant. It is such a perfect match to what Twitter is and how the Twitter audience is already interacting with people. I can't believe it took them this long to figure this out.
It's funny.
To be honest.
It's funny. Yeah. They've been so under-monetized for so long, which might be the perfect thing, because Facebook over-monetized everything through ads. Yeah. So basically, they were monetizing, but through third party for businesses, where Twitter monetized everything in the platform. For creators, for the people who create already in the platform, they gave them the means to make a great living and make the platform better. So I think it's extremely interesting move, yeah.
Actually, I have to walk another thing back here. I just said that social media is sort of failing, or that that other things are coming back, but this isn't actually true. I just realized that social selling is huge and TikTok is ginormous. So it's not really social media that's going away. I mean, Reddit is so freaking large today. It's insane. It's not really social media. It's Facebook and Instagram that are going away. So it could be like our generation's first social medias that are slowly dying right now.
I hope so, because those are the two that I hate the most.
I mean, it seems also that the social media that was like the friend social media is going away, where the following something interesting around a theme or a person is staying. Because on Twitter, I don't have any friends on Twitter. First, they're not in Twitter, and I don't care. People or interesting things and themes.
To some extent, then you could say that pure social, focus on social there, media is what's dying out, and that what's moving in to take its place is more of a like creative media or ideas-based media.
To be fair, Twitter is not a social media for me. Twitter is a media platform of microblogging.
That's what I'm saying. Like we call it social media, but that might not be the most accurate term to describe what it is or what it's becoming.
Yeah.
Another interesting part of that is like Facebook is based on the idea of the social graph. So is sort of Twitter. They recommend you new stuff based on the graph of people who are like you or should be like you. And they take whatever those people liked and they present the same stuff to you. But that's not really how we usually tend to figure things out. We usually talk to people and get recommended things and then we love or hate that. And on like TikTok or something, or specifically on TikTok and on YouTube, it's not a social graph. They're going after exactly what you have liked and then they try to recommend something for exactly that person. It's individual, it's not a social graph. So it's still a social media, but it's built on an entirely different sort of idea about how content spreads. So maybe it could be just exactly what Brandon just said, like maybe it's the social part and it's the social graph that is the technology that powers that part that is just going away. Because I agree, I absolutely hate Facebook, even though sadly a lot of my old friends are still on Facebook for some reason.
I mean, I'm still on it because it is a useful tool. I just think that, you know, I don't remember where it was. It's like, are you using the technology as a tool to suit your own needs, or is the technology using you to suit the needs of somebody else? Which, if you're being sort of brought to the whims of the Facebook newsfeed algorithm or the advertising thing that is leading you to buy things, well, then you are being used as a means to suit somebody else's end goal of making money or whatever it is. Whereas if you use it for, in my case, a tool for essentially just messaging, event organization and management, and connecting with people in my geographical area around hobbies, in my case, essentially just volleyball. Like, that's all I use it for. My news feed is completely blocked out. I don't get any notifications. I don't think, period. I disabled pretty much all group notifications. So it's the tool by default is not designed with your best interests in mind, but you can tweak and refine the tool so that it does suit your interests. It just takes a little bit of time and effort to do so. That said, you know, I still use Facebook and WhatsApp for communication, so they do still have my data and I do still get targeted ads, but I am so banner blind by this point in my life that I do not pay attention to any of this crap. So I don't know.
So what do you guys use? Because I use mostly Twitter, and I use Twitter mostly because this is the way I found interesting entrepreneurs since I started using Twitter in, Jesus Christ, 2007. And besides that, I read blogs, I follow some newsletters, and I just basically avoid everything else. So what do you guys use?
So, I mean, Twitter, mostly Twitter, but I'm pretty new to Twitter. I was not part of the first, I don't know, handful of waves. Started using it for the last 2 years only. And it's really interesting because now most of the things I read or people I'm interested in online come from Twitter, where before they were only from, I guess, recommendations. I listen to a podcast, I like these guys. So I was following more higher level people, let's call them. So more successful people, where right now I follow many more lower success or mid closer to me people, which makes it really interesting through Twitter. And LinkedIn for my job. I basically don't read LinkedIn, but I know that LinkedIn would be probably the best channel for distribution right now because they have an amazing reach, fairly easier to hack than Twitter, I think. Not hack, but get views, because I don't want to start also just blogging only about marketing or something that I'm not fully passionate about, but that could be for a distribution channel on Twitter. Twitter is creativity, learning, following interest, curiosity, where, okay, LinkedIn, I know that I could probably get followers only through, okay, one marketing content a day, blah, 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 to building a distribution channel. So I think it's a really effective B2B marketing tool. Not interesting one, but they have a really high reach right now.
Okay, interesting. So despite talking about how much I hate it, I do use Instagram, but I have very specifically crafted my feed to only have essentially lighthearted things in there that will provide some sort of uplifting thing. Like, I don't follow any of my friends on Instagram whatsoever. I basically follow like webcomics, because they just make me laugh, and like, you know, a few, things about like breakdancing, because like you just see crazy crap about what the human body is capable of, and you're like, wow, that's really cool. But I very carefully crafted my feed to avoid following any people that could lead to feelings of like jealousy, I guess you could say, you know, the type of people who would post things, particularly digital nomads who are like, look, I'm in Bali at this point. Yeah. I don't want any of that stuff. I don't want that, those things polluting my headspace. Like I said, you know, I've crafted very specifically how I use Facebook. I use LinkedIn essentially just to apply for jobs. And on all of these platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, I have newsfeed blockers installed. So my newsfeed is entirely blocked out. Facebook and LinkedIn, I think that's very useful. I don't know. I'm sure that those tools can be used to some degree effectively. But I just haven't figured out a way to do that. Twitter, it seems like the news feed is a lot more necessary to use it effectively as a tool. But even when I've tried to refine my feed only to follow, say, programmers, like, the thing is, Twitter will still recommend or put things in your feed based on, like, you know, somebody you follow liked this tweet from another person, so this is brought into your feed. And I don't like that lack of control, which is why I don't really use Twitter that much. I do think it's a great tool, and everybody in programming says it's like the place to be to interact with programmers and all that stuff. I still haven't figured out a good way to use it. And that's actually part of the reason why my favorite social media channel is actually Reddit. Because I very specifically craft what subreddits I've unsubscribed from and which ones I actually follow. And your feed isn't ever polluted with things outside the scope of what you follow, except with sponsored posts, obviously, which is very easy to notice because like it's highlighted a different color and it says sponsor in the corner. So you just kind of gloss over that and you only see the things that you specifically choose are in topics that you want to see. And I've found that when you're in the giant subreddits, you know, like world news, it is just like a knife fight in a dark alley. It is a bloody mess in there. You do not want to go into those comments. Yeah. You will not walk out with your sanity intact. But if you go to smaller subreddits, like you might enjoy this one. There's one called Scandinavian Interior, which is all about like, you know, like whatever home design in the Scandinavian fashion. And it just sort of ties in very directly with like minimalism and things like that. And that's essentially what my Reddit feed is. It's like, you know, things about minimalism, things about volleyball, things about coding, and a couple other interests I have, like hunting and foraging and things like that. Not things that I do, but just things I'd like to learn to do eventually. And I very much prefer platforms that give you that level of fine-tuned control, because whenever, in my opinion, whenever a platform is saying you're interested in these things, we're going to start guiding your attention to these other things, it's like, no, I don't want you to do that. That's the wrong thing to do. And I think that the market is inevitably going to tilt towards the things that give users more control, because inherently that's what people want.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that's where the pushback is coming in against Facebook and Instagram and all those things. I think that's kind of the core of it, that all of these larger scale issues are just sort of like symptomatic of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're completely right about this. Like that nails it. And that also explains why we started with this sort of premise, because it's really the reason Facebook is sort of losing out now is because they were the best at finding other shit that you should be looking at. And now that we're pushing back against that, they are the biggest enemy because they're just giving us shit. And also, like, just listening to you guys talk about which media sites you're on, I realized that I completely framed this the wrong way starting out. Like, it's not at all social media being less than sort of, because we were just talking about, we're on social media sites, we're on forums, because Reddit is just a forum, and we're listening to podcasts, probably we're listening to things, so
that's why what I
on YouTube. Like, this
listeners
is,
couldn't
this
hear
is
it.
Everything.
When I said Reddit, I did air quotes. That's why I was like, social media?
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know.
Yes, the air quotes belong there, because it's social media, but it is one of these sites where you go to learn from other people. And what's happened isn't really so much that people are moving away from social media into more traditional channels. What's happened is sort of that everybody just went everywhere. Like, it's a diaspora of the internet. Like, we're no longer just on Facebook. It's the main platform. Oh my God. And we're no longer just on Twitter. Oh my God, we have to be there. What's happened is basically that people just spread out into everything.
And I also think, I mean, when you started with the everybody's on newsletter right now as an example, that's a Twitter phenomenon, if I'm not mistaken. I've been asking around, and most of the people I know on my social circle, they don't really read or follow any newsletter. It's really web, we're not native, but like we are heavy web users, and Twitter phenomenon, if I'm not mistaken. It's probably gonna come everywhere at some point, but it's not that common in other circles.
That's super cool.
And also, just one thing, if I just jump, one thing I thought about, about Instagram? I'm not an Instagram user, but my girlfriend uses it a lot, and mostly she just finds a lot of gems, for example, around local producer of, I don't know, special food or handcraft or something, which I would never guess you could find these things on Instagram.
So she's using it as like a search engine almost.
Almost, or... yeah. Basically, we found someone that does roast coffee really close to a place through Instagram. Someone that does, yeah, craft beers and all these kind of things through Instagram, which is really interesting because it's not always easy to find them through, I don't know, even Google right now, because most of the people, they have such shit SEO, it's really hard to find them. But she finds a lot of these things around these topics on Instagram. She mostly uses it for that. Local, yeah, small shop or small interest group.
And it's really cool.
I like it as well, yeah.
And that also brings up another thing that has to do with this topic, the fact that Google isn't that great anymore. I don't know if you guys saw this, the comparison that I think it was the Washington Post did a week ago. Did you see that?
No.
So they had, they took the search results, just the search results page from Google for stuff that was about their own site from the Internet Wayback Machine. So you can see like over the years how it had changed. And Google's results are just crap today. Like it's all ads, and the organic stuff that is there is ranked really strangely. So it really looked like, just in their example, you could watch, you could really see like the search results weren't really giving any answers. They were just selling you bullshit, which is honestly my experience using Google today.
It's true. I mean, except if you look for something extremely specific, I don't know, I want a plumber. Yeah. I want a plumber. Google gives me great results because it's really specific. But something else that is not as clear, or also Google lacks completely serendipity, just finding something through something else, because it happens mostly on faster channels like social media, like, or maybe YouTube or Instagram, where you click and on the second click, you find something is amazing. It never happened. It can happen, but it's pretty rare on Google.
Yeah. YouTube rabbit holes are a very thing. Yeah. Google rabbit holes less so.
Yeah, very much. I don't know if, Benjamin, you've seen this, so I want to ask you if you had the same phenomenon, but as developers, like both me and Brandon, have probably had this problem many times, where you try to Google for something and you get a certain search result and you realize it's not the search result you're looking for. So you vary the sentence that you're searching for. But Google is so goddamn smart that it thinks it's the same thing you're looking for. Mm. So it gives you the same result, which means you're not getting what you actually want.
I was not aware of that, no.
Okay, so that's probably really annoying, programmer specific then, but it's super fucking annoying. It's hard to Google things as a developer today.
Yeah, I've heard anecdotes about Google even like hiding results that they essentially deem like, I don't know, negative things that they don't want people to find, essentially. This is very anecdotal. This is something I heard Rogan reference on his podcast once, though. He said that he was trying to find the story about a doctor, I think in Atlanta, who actually died after getting the COVID vaccine. Like the vaccine essentially caused it, it seems like. And he couldn't find it anywhere on Google, but when he searched on DuckDuckGo, he found it instantaneously. And it's like, that's a very interesting thing. If they sense, I mean, and I don't know, that to me, that's a very dystopian type of thing, like censoring things that sort of go against the company line to some extent. That's very, very concerning.
This is a problem, I think, for Google as a company, because they've been tasked to do this by the US government. Like, they have to have an active plan on managing misinformation, which is a really problematic term when you're a search engine.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be filtering the message, because that's not what search is.
Big problem.
But they're forced to do it.
Social media and Google. Yeah. Which is, yeah. I mean, again, to come back to the first discussion, is the reason you want, as a creator, writer, media, whatever, to own to own people that are interested in what you do, because at some point you might be removed from a platform.
Yeah, there was something I didn't get to fully explain. We kind of got around to it though when my rants got cut off by my crappy internet here at the co-working, that essentially that's what people are moving towards. They want to operate within the ecosystem where they have the largest quantity of control.
I mean, that's amazing. He just said that he didn't get to make this point because he froze, and then he froze. I love it.
Are you kidding me right now?
Are you back?
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not allowed to make a point. I'm just going to keep freezing every time.
That's Zoom canceling you, actually.
Live. Yeah, I'm getting canceled by Zoom. Damn Zoom. Yeah. That people are essentially trying to extricate themselves from that ecosystem and use the full suite of tools available to sort of create their own information stream that is optimized for their own goals, not the goals of somebody else, essentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, also just something I thought about, because I mean, complete more marketing topic, but just newsletter results are just so much better and higher than any other channels for engagement or results. It just also just makes sense to own your channel and to use emails, because one of my friends, he just created like an open source project, like it's a presentation deck. He has 5,000 people in his email list. He's not a marketing guy at all. He's always so impressed that every time he sends an email, 40% open, I don't know, 10-15% click. And then he has, I don't know, and then on social, it's basically 1, 2, 3 clicks. It's just ridiculous, the difference.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. And it's, everybody spends the whole day in the inbox also.
Yep.
Yeah.
But do you think that this will scale as a channel? Because right currently, with content marketing being the thing for the past 5 years, like most businesses have some sort of newsletter and they all suck. So all of these niche newsletters that people are now setting up and that we're following, they're great. But it's going to become one of those explosions, just like with podcasting
The big difference is that the newsletters before were just the distribution channels, where now the media and the content is in the newsletter, in the email per se. They don't make you click away. You get the content in the newsletter, and that's the value of all the newsletters that I've worked out right now. They don't make you click away, except if you want to read to learn more, but you have all the meat is in the email.
That's a good point.
The value is there. That's the reason. That's actually the way you need to. You should do it. I mean, I don't even do it for my own blog, so I'm stupid to say that. But it is this way.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great insight.
Which is the same. I mean, it's the same like everywhere. People don't want to click away on LinkedIn, on Twitter, everywhere else. They want to stay on the platform. They decided themselves that they want to receive the information on this platform. So you need to have something really compelling to make them click away.
Well, I mean, you could analyze that to death, but I think there's a lot of little things that go into that as far as human psychology goes. So when you make the choice to click away to something else, you're essentially switching the context you're operating in. Like, you're reading the email on this thing. This is familiar. You know this this email sender. You know their style of writing, da-da-da-da-da. You click away. Now, if you just click away to their blog, maybe that's an environment you're more familiar with, but you start clicking away to other websites, you're being introduced to other people's ways of communicating, other even just design styles on the different website that you go to, or maybe it's a different communication modality, like this is a podcast, this is a YouTube video, et cetera. So all of these little like micro decisions that a person has to make is a little bit of a commitment of mental energy from them. And our attention is being pulled in so many different directions. We want to make as few of those commitments of our mental energy to different things as possible. Mm-hmm. So people who allow us to conserve that mental energy are the things that we end up sticking with over the long term, because that's really the finite resource that we are having to learn how to sort of ration out as intelligently as possible.
That is a great framing for it. Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely spot on with that. And also, when you're in your inbox, you're probably trying to get through your inbox and you don't want to mess up that flow by going anywhere else.
Yeah,
exactly. That's a context shift. Every time you exit it, you're switching to something else. Yeah.
No, it's true. Yeah, it's completely true.
Yeah.
Which makes these link sort of aggregators like Facebook and Twitter way less interesting.
Because, your brain context is being shifted all over the place at the whims of an external thing, in this case Facebook's algorithm and their supercomputers that are just like bending your mind to their whims, essentially. It's not sustainable, and I think that people have become even more cognizant of this in the last year in particular, when it was pure chaos and bedlam as far as the eye could see. I did have an interesting idea about sort of how, because you're talking about like, you know, is this sustainable, or is it going to be like a rise like podcasting, and then like, is it going to drop? So I remember in one of his interviews, Naval talked about one of the things the internet does being essentially creating one large hegemon for any specific thing and then a very long tail afterwards. And I think that that is true to an extent, but it also doesn't paint an entire picture, because the other thing that the internet does is, I mean, as we know, as people have tried to create business and market things, is that you don't always want to go for, you know, you want to aim for the blue oceans, right? So what's one of the most common things about how to create a business for yourself is to niche down, niche down, niche down. But when you have this internet ecosystem operating at scale, you're not just creating like a flat 2D long tail graph. It's like a three-dimensional one. So you've got like, sure, Facebook might be this giant hegemon, but it's like it extends in three dimensions or even more than that, because you've got video, you've got podcasts. It's long tails extending in every which way. And in many ways, the internet is like the great democratizer. I don't know if we're going to be seeing so many of these giant conglomerates anymore, when you're starting to see people creating content channels, platforms, businesses that are just taking smaller and smaller slices of the giant pie. So it could be that sort of the internet of the future is instead just going to be everybody sort of picking a la carte, like a dozen different tools that they personally choose to use as their sort of information sources. And in that way, it kind of democratizes everything and makes it more, you know, up to you to decide which ones you use. And I hope that that will sort of pull the power away from the giant Facebooks and other evil people in the future. But who knows?
I mean, one can hope, right? But of course, if that happens, then the next generation of search will just become even stronger, you know? So it's always hard to move away from central nexuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with that, should we wrap it?
I mean, let me just end on a completely different note, but I listened to a podcast one or 2 days ago about a venture capitalist. I don't know if you know the guy, Josh Wolf. He's like a really futurist, really interesting guy that goes not into social media or internet-based business, but into hard science and how to fix problems. Basically, an interesting VC. I don't know, I listened to him a few times in the Shane Parrish podcast first time. And he was asked, why did he sell one specific company, or maybe the owner sold this specific company to Facebook? He said, yeah, why did you sell to Facebook? Like, they are the bad guys. You say, yeah, maybe that might be true. But we said the same about Bill Gates 30 years ago, and now he's pretty much the best hope we have to save the planet. So with someone with...
Did we say that about Bill Gates?
I'm 30 years ago. So 30 years ago, Microsoft was way too big. People were not completely against Microsoft. Yes.
Hell yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I agree, but I really liked it. Made me think, I would say.
Yeah, it's a really good point. It reframes everything.
Just frames everything and say, okay, how? Yeah, maybe. Maybe, I mean, he has unlimited money. he's a brilliant entrepreneur, no question about that.
Yeah.
And he might actually be the one that solves the next generation of big problems and tackle them.
Yeah. Something we keep forgetting is that Elon Musk is one of these people. And I mean, that's going pretty well for the planet.
I don't know. He's completely reframed everything in my mind because I don't like Facebook. I'm still on WhatsApp because it's pretty hard to leave. And I'm not that scared of my privacy, to be fair, as well. Mm-hmm. But still, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, when
I heard my friends over to Telegram.
Yeah, which that's hard. That's pretty hard. Huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really an interesting way to frame it.
That's a great, great idea. Yeah.
I think one interesting insight is sort of like a metric to show, to some extent, how people are taking this more seriously and moving in this direction anyway, is that on Telegram, you will get like a message popping up on your Telegram feed, letting you know whenever your friends joins Telegram. And so I'll see every day or every few days, like more and more of my friends moving over to the platform without me inviting them. These are just people for whatever reason, making the choice to do that. So it's very interesting to sort of see the tide shifting on its own. Like we're part of the wave that's moving in that direction. And like I said, I just think that over time, I hope anyway, that it will regulate itself. I just don't know if I trust in everybody to be that, to make that decision on their own.
No, it's network effect. Yeah. They will go where most people are, where it's more convenient.
Yeah.
My sister, yep. My parents, I don't know, my friends that are not interested about these topics, they will go where people are going, or maybe new features are more interesting, else they will just go where everybody's going. No, I'm completely sure about that.
I agree. Yeah. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's a depressing thing.
Well, I also think that, like I said, more people are becoming interested in these things. More people want to sort of have control over their own information stream. They want to have, their own data being protected further, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I do believe that broadly speaking, capitalism is demand driven. So as more people care about these things, more people will begin building projects to sort of satiate that need and that desire for these things. So I do think that things will move in that direction. It just takes time for sort of the entrepreneurs and innovators to catch up and come up with creative ways to make a profitable business that also operates ethically within this landscape, essentially. And I don't know I know you guys both follow Naval, and he's actually gotten a lot more active lately. I've gotten a few emails from him. He's been talking in particular about this one book, I believe, called The Beginning of Infinity. Have you guys seen anything about this one?
Yeah, I've read it a couple of times. It's awesome.
Oh, you have? Okay. Could you sort of like give a brief, like, and obviously it's probably hard to do a brief one, but like a brief overview of like the sort of core idea at the center of it?
The Beginning of Infinity is written by this wonderful physicist from Oxford University called David Deutsch. And he's written several interesting books, and he's done research on the multiverse interpretation of quantum mechanics. But this book only touches on that as a sort of aside. The core of the book is basically, what is knowledge and how is knowledge created? And he builds on the work of the philosopher Karl Popper, who invented the idea of, defined the idea of falsification as how we derive what is actually true from the world. And David Deutsch takes that another step further. And it's just, it blows your mind every time you read it, because it's just, it's so freaking cool to look at the world as a cornucopia of knowledge creation. It's wonderful.
Yeah. And that to me sort of ties into some of the ideas that you'll be more familiar with, Benji, in Matt Ridley's book, The Rational Optimist, where essentially that sort of specialization and sort of human innovation are what drive humanity forward. But I do believe that's the case. And I think that it's easy to, at least in this last year, it's become very easy to get discouraged and pessimistic and just think humanity's shit and all of this stuff. But I do think that innovation is still driving us forward despite all that, and that the trend is moving in the right direction, and innovation is obviously accelerating at an exponential rate. The problems that we're describing right now are just very, very new problems, and we haven't had, there aren't enough people who sort of specialize in all the areas necessary to really tackle those problems. Like, if you want to figure out a way to create like the most perfect ethical social media, you need to figure out like, how can you create positive feedback loops for human psychology? You need to figure out how you can monetize a thing without negatively impacting human psychology. You need to figure out how to get people to use the tool in the way that's most beneficial for them, not more beneficial for somebody else's ends, but also make it financially incentivized for other people to use it, because like, you need that meshing of people and ideas and businesses and all these. So it's like, it's a very, very, very complex ecosystem that nobody fully understands the entire scope of. So it's going to take time for somebody to be an expert in all of these different things and also have the capability to build something to solve all of these different things. But I do think, given a long enough timeline, we will get there.
That's a very optimistic view of the world. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So, I don't know.
Kind of crept up on you, huh? You're a little surprised you're not a dystopic cynic, aren't you?
I have been in the past, and then I did psychedelics, so. Oh, I
see. Listeners, this is not medical advice either. No financial advice, and no medical advice.
I mean, I don't know.
If you've been following the recreational use of drugs at all, even though it's great.
Exactly. If you've been following Tim Ferriss over the years, you've seen how the things he talks about has shifted. So you'll be inundated with messages along these lines. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think
the other parting thoughts before we sign off.
I think we went on a lot of tangents, so I think this is good.
This is good. It was interesting. It's a bit, yeah.
Very much so.
It was interesting, and yeah, I think it's something we should do more often.
Yeah, weekly.
That's a good way to go.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right. Cool. Then.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for the Sideways podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Perfect.
Till next time, your host, Brandon, Jay, and Benjamin. And I don't know. As we were talking about niching down earlier, don't always go the main way. Find your own side way.
Right. Oh, God. That's such an American tagline. I love it. Oh, Jesus. I need to barf.
All right.
I mean, I can dial up the cheesiness when I need to, man.
And if you need anybody to do a voiceover, do an outro, an intro for your podcast, Brandon is available for hire.
Yeah, right. I don't know why I'm going on Upwork as a programmer. I should just go on Upwork as a voice actor.
Hell yeah.
Cool. All right. Good stuff. And yeah, until indeed. Next time.
Yeah. Until have next a good time. Week, guys. Work hard.
Good week. Yeah.
Right. Take it easy.
Cheers. Yeah.
Bye.